Hey.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hot track right
that's,
there.
That's such a record. Oh my God.
That's a hot one right there.
I'm Josh.
I'm Jaren.
Today on the Audiophiles podcast, we have an extraordinarily special guest.
A superstar.
Super duper star, I might add. By the name of Crybaby.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome, Crybaby.
Thank you. Thank Crybaby, you for having me.
Singer, songwriter, friend of the Audiophiles. Yep. Music wizard.
Thank you. It's a very kind introduction.
We don't know what we're talking about, but she usually does. So.
Yeah, we're going to have fun doing it. We'll see how Crybaby holds up. How are you doing, Crybaby?
Doing great. How's everyone here?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to have you on the program. I'm loving the new material you released. So.
Thank you. I'm very excited. It's my debut single under Crybaby, and it's really been a whirlwind, this project. So I'm really happy it's out in the world.
So let's kick this off. I want to ask a question, maybe the most important question. Jaren, what have you been listening to?
What have I been listening to? Lately, I've listened to the new Tame Impala record a lot. I was never really huge into them. I know, you know, their name gets thrown
around
a lot.
You'll get people saying like, oh, dude, they're old stuff. And I am one of those people. I like their old records, man.
I knew like one of their old songs because I think Rihanna covered it like in like one of her last albums. But I actually like their album they came out with. I'm anxious to go back and check out their old stuff too now. What about you? What you been listening to?
Still on this little Mac DeMarco train over here. Yeah. Man.
That's crazy. I tried to listen to him today, like at the end of like work, and I was like,
didn't work.
I don't know if I'm really feeling this.
It's kind of a mood for me. If I'm in the Mac mood, I'm way in. But if I'm not, it's not top of my list, you know?
Yeah, it's just been happy music, it's been sad music for me.
Yeah, he's versatile.
Total palate cleanser. Somehow. That and then pretty much nothing, man. Podcasts.
You know?
I'm in my little musical rut / lull. I need some recommendations. I'll get some, though, because this is the Audiophile.
Oh, for sure. This is where you come to get the recommendations. And we got a great person with us, too, for recommendations.
Crybaby, what have you been listening to?
I've been listening to Ravina's new record. The single Headaches off of that record is really a beautiful song. Ravina Aurora, if you don't know her already, she is a amazing, just, what can we even say about her? Her voice is simultaneously so soothing and relaxing and yet empowering and beautiful. She's another bisexual artist that I follow, and I've been very deeply inspired by her. So go check out Headaches by Ravina.
I actually just came across her, like, I think she came out with an album like maybe a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I never heard of her before, but I just saw her pictures. Like, oh, mm-hmm. She's gorgeous. Like,
she is, you know, gorgeous.
So I played the first song, and I had to go to work, and I was digging it, so... That's another one I'm going to check out.
Yeah, don't sleep on that. Press play again. It's killing.
Yeah, the look caught me, you know. Like, let me see if there's more.
And yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, James, the music really video, too, is beautiful.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on to the show, Crybaby. We got all kinds of questions. We got to probably just come clean about this. Jaren and I both independently have worked with Crybaby in the past. I may or may not have played bass and mixed and mastered this. single.
May or may not have shot the single cover for that.
Yeah,
maybe.
So we're already kind of familiar with it, but that doesn't mean we can't ask questions about it.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a beautiful collaboration we all have here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm glad we can all come back together in one room and chat about the record.
So, Crybaby, where do you get such fantastic collaborators?
Well, there's this podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it.
My goodness. So, yeah, let's start with that. So the formation of the song, where did it start when you started writing it? Because I only heard it in the semi-final finished form where you had basically everything written, the structure laid out.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's pretty consistent with all of my records. I pretty much just sit down, start fiddling around with the music, and usually I'll have kind of one idea that I'll bring in when I'm sitting down. Like, the hook came to me, that when you smile it feels like sunshine dripping over my mind. That came to me as I was driving in Berkeley, as one does. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that could be a cool lick, or it could be like fucking terrible. And I was like twiddling around with it for a little bit, And I was like, man, that's a lot more kind of upbeat than I usually am. It's a lot happier and a lot bouncier. And that was kind of the challenge for this song. I had released a single under a different name the year prior, and it was a super personal project as well. But it was a lot heavier, a lot deeper, and a lot just kind of a whole different vibe. And my challenge really was to write like a happy, bouncy song. And that hook came to me, and I kind of ran with it. So I had that going in. And then what I did actually at your recommendation in the studio was to just sit down, put the mic next to me as opposed to in the corner with like all the foam and where it like usually lives. And I just kind of started singing what I heard and just kind of scatting over the different parts of the song. And that's typically how I write. But usually it doesn't stay there. Usually it changes pretty radically. But I wanted it to feel pretty personal and pretty just easy to listen to. That was kind of the whole goal of this song. So a lot of that, some of those first takes actually ended up in the beginning, the intro of the song.
Yeah, it's funny she would say you kind of scattered over, you know, the parts, because I noticed a lot of stuff going on in like the background of the song. And how does that even go into like making the song? Like, how do you make a sound and kind of just keep looping it? Or
yeah, absolutely. So in my typical writing process, if I have like if I'm working with a prearranged beat or like different elements that I already have musically, that's typically how I write. Like, I will just scat over it a number of times, and then I'll kind of form like little syllables that'll and eventually end up being words. But for the intro to this song, I really kind of wanted it to just be bouncy and simple, and I kept those scratch vocals. I mean, I never went over and re-recorded them because I wanted them to sound natural. I wanted them to just be what I felt in the room, and I think it worked, you know.
Definitely.
So we've talked about this before, but you start off as a really intuitive writer, and the lyrics are like, I don't know, I mean, it's at least from my perspective, like semi-confusing. It's like, I feel like I'm listening to kind of somewhere between stream of consciousness and just like a lot of thoughts flying out. So I, being a folk singer, we don't really hear that type of like free form intuitive lyric songwriting. So I just want to know where that comes from, how you put the lyrics together.
Yeah, so it's interesting you mentioned that. I think lyrically the song, it's pretty simple. And that goes along with kind of what I was saying before of just wanting it to be bouncy and wanting it to come really from the heart. There are a couple different identities in there, a couple different people talking at once. So the lines, like, when you smile, it feels like sunshine dripping over my mind. That's one person. And then there's, but you say, give me time, give me time, give me time. That's kind of a different person. And a lot of this entire project is kind of me battling with myself and my identity and being a queer woman, trying to kind of understand and come to terms with how I feel and how I fit into the world and how people perceive me. And I think that kind of speaks to it right there. It's also in my name, Crybaby, with two eyes, kind of representative of two different people and kind of how I feel in life, like living a split reality sometimes as a queer bisexual woman.
Not too well thought out for us, man.
Man, hey, I was just going to say that like, you can tell, like, working with her, you've worked with her more than I have, but, you know, the few times I've worked with her, she already has exactly what she wants to do, like, in her mind. Like, she sees it way ahead.
Yeah,
that's
man,
why.
I've told people this before, but, I mean, I have, like, a few different collaborators I work pretty closely with. I can talk Panda into stuff. I can talk Casey into stuff, even. Casey's pretty resolute. Like, I want this synth to sound... I can't talk Crybaby into anything. Crybaby knows exactly what
they
want.
You can talk me into some things like bass, reverb, drum, reverb. You can talk me into a couple mastering decisions.
Yeah, but we pushed that way back. She's like, I don't even want to hear it.
It's like, you just know she's going to blow up. Like, because, all right, I know the difference, like, working with you and Casey as far as, like, a shoot. Like, it'll be like, yeah, we want to do a photo shoot. What do you guys want to do? I don't know. Just take some pictures. Bring a camera. I don't know. With her, it was like, you know, weeks of planning, like, yeah, so I got to get balloons. I know exactly where the wall is going to be. I already know what I'm going to wear. And it's like, whoa, you know.
Well, I'm actually glad you mentioned the shoot because that location, the San Francisco LGBT center is an important part of the project. I think it's important to recognize the community locally. And I was really excited to. I'm a monthly donor there, so, and you can be too. If you check out my Instagram, there's a link in my bio to be a monthly donor, just like I am. I think it's really important to give back to the community. So that, along with it's a big purple building, and that's a huge part of my brand. Purple symbolizes many things in my life, but it's also representative of spirit in the rainbow LGBTQ plus flag. And a lot of other things, too, like I said. But that's a big part of my identity as Crybaby, too.
Dope.
So is that going to be a big priority as you kind of move forward in the musical career, is to make sure that like charity is part of where the bread goes and part of what the priorities are as
absolutely.
Far as where the resources go?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was with a previous project too. I think it just makes sense with the message that I want to promote and just me as a person. I think it's really important to give back and do things locally. If you want to read my article in Do the Gay, which is a it's like a local events publication, probably one of the biggest for the LGBTQ plus community here in San Francisco. There's a lot more words about that. But yeah, I think it's a really important thing to do. Everything goes a long way. You know, you don't have to be making whatever it is to give back. You can always give a little bit. That's how I see it. You know, like I don't really drink coffee too much, but I think about it if I bought two coffees in a week, whatever, it's probably like what, $10 or something like that. I can give that, you know.
Word. Well, yeah, that's a good outlook to have. It's kind of the idea that it's, I don't know, thought that counts is like a cliche, but it's more part of like the message that you send by doing it, right? Than like the quantity or whatever.
Mm.
And then also like a drop in the bucket. If everybody gives $10 or something, then, you know, we cooking.
That yeah, point, so. Yeah.
So going back to the single a little bit, I hear a lot of like neo-soul and like just R&B influences mm-hmm. in there. Who were some of the artists that like you kind of feel like you were channeling
mm-hmm.
and putting this song together?
Well, Totally Ravina, as we were talking about earlier, there's kind of a lick in there that's pretty reminiscent of one of her records, and that's definitely on purpose. Moonchild, of course, because
yeah.
you know, me and Amber can't not. And then some of those kind of under hook harmonies are pretty D'Angelo inspired, I would say. There was a review that said something along those lines, and that made me pretty stoked because that's definitely a huge influence stylistically and just overall sound, phrasing and things like that. Georgia Ann Muldrow is another one who I've been listening to a lot recently. Of course, Erykah Badu, because Erykah.
Yeah. Man, I keep trying to dig back into those D'Angelo records. It's just too sensual for me.
Man, what?
Just can't handle it.
Speaking of which, like, that got to be a big, like, you got to love that reading that and kind of be mentioned in the same sentence as, like, D'Angelo, you know?
Like, what?
It was, that review made me.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Yeah,
he's definitely like one of the like music guys out here right now. So
yeah, it's amazing how voodoo is what, like, I don't know, 20 years old or something like that, and it's still
25.
Insanely influential.
Yeah.
Especially for me, just as a stylist. Yeah, the entire vibe he creates, you'll see on the next record that I put out, hopefully later this year, that. You know, the style of like the clap stack that I'm really into in the drumming world. He didn't use one, I don't think, but basically he just put claps after like every beat. You'll see that in my next release for sure.
For sure. Speaking of like your next release, mm-hmm. Sunshine is such a like happy song. Like
mm-hmm.
I definitely see myself when summer comes around, like pulling my top down, like, you know, driving, listening to it. Would you say the rest of the record, or the rest of the next project is kind of reminiscent of that? Is it like more happy?
No, I think it'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the bigger project. So the bigger project, which I hopefully will release end of this year, I haven't really given any clues to publications or bloggers or anything about the release date or the title or anything like that. But for Audiophiles listeners only.
Oh, exclusive.
The title will be called In Lieu of Flowers. And I'm hoping that it'll, I have like a basic track listing. A lot of the tunes are done or pretty much done. And the whole concept of the record is to be intentionally inclusive and gender neutral. And by that, I mean not using he or she, sticking with the neutral they, so that anyone listening can really kind of put themselves in those shoes and feel like they're included in the music. It's a really personal, exciting concept for the record, and I'm really, really excited about that.
For sure.
Our Uncle Soda gets around to mixing it. We'll be in here. Man, comprehensive interview. Thanks for hanging out. Can you hang for another segment, Crybaby?
Sure, yeah.
Before we get out of here, Jaren, any closing words of wisdom?
Closing words of wisdom? Eat your vegetables and stay strong, kids.
Sounds great. We'll be back in a second. I'll play my own record on this. I'm always say that after I play my own songs. I'll play my own record on my own podcast.
Hey, you gotta do it.
It's my world.
You can't sue yourself, or you could, but you know.
I would lose money both ways.
For real.
Anything for royalties.
So you were talking a bit about, we were talking a bit about Neo Soul, and mm-hmm. D'Angelo came up, and you were saying, you know, how influential Voodoo was.
Yeah.
So thinking of Neo Soul, what would you say is like the most influential neo-soul record of all time? Or let's not even say all time, like the golden period, like 95 to like 2005.
I mean, I think it's Voodoo. I don't think there's really... Is it up for debate?
I would say yes.
What would you say?
Baduism or Urban Hang Suite by Maxwell.
Okay. Yeah, if it's not Voodoo, then it's Baduism for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think just the way Voodoo plays, like if you just listen to it straight through, like you could be like, oh, who's this new, what's the new release? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's really timeless, and I think parts of Erica's sound have that kind of 90s vibe of like the string kind of stuff, which is great. Like I think it's like part of her thing.
Mm. You want to throw some early roots into there? You know what I'm saying? With that Questlove, like way pushed, slumping the hats way over.
Totally.
Kind of thing. I think I'll give Questlove like a tenth of the credit at least.
Quest.
Personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Their trumpeter is coming to Black Cat this week. I can't wait. It's going to be dope.
You just get all the good shows working there.
Yeah.
Well, you should come through.
It's a pretty sweet deal. Yeah, Black Cat, for those of you who don't know, is a cool... like the chic venue for jazz in San Francisco.
Good hang. Good hang.
Generally good hang.
Yeah.
So Voodoo, huh? That's what you're going with? What do you think, Josh?
It doesn't take a lot of argument. I mean, was Voodoo the first? I'm not too familiar with it. What's the first record of D'Angelo's?
Brown Sugar.
Brown Sugar?
That's 95. Voodoo is 2000.
See, for me, his records are so, they all sound like D'Angelo, right?
Of course.
Not to like,
no,
you know,
I mean, that's
talk
like,
negatively.
It's the vibe.
Yeah, but I just, when I come up with an artist that like kind of like invented a genre, I go their first record, right? That's my rule of thumb.
Mm.
That, and then yeah, like, you know, New America One for sure, you know, it's brilliant.
That's not one of my favorite Badu records.
It's not one of my favorite Badu records, but I think, and then, you know, I'd throw in that early root stuff, man. Early root stuff too. You gotta love it.
For sure.
So, I show some love to Jill Scott too. Yeah, she's a hugely influential one for me, too.
I love Jill Scott, but I don't... And when we're talking influential artists, like I wouldn't look to Jill Scott. And that's not a knock. She's great at what she does. I love Jill Scott, but I kind of think she kind of occupies her own lane, especially with, like, the spoken word stuff.
Mm,
like, not too many people are really doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I got to jump in here.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Are you having fun doing it?
Great fun.
This is a total side note. I'm just going to go off the rails here for a second because I feel like I need to air this out. I did a show this weekend, had a merch table. A guy walks up to the merch table, looks me in the eye and says, "Do you have any CDs left? There are CDs on the merch table." He looks me in the face, asks me if there's any CDs left.
How do you know he wasn't, like, he looked at you in his eyes, but you know sometimes people that can't see, like blind people, they still have, like,
He was navigating the crowd. I could read him.
Some people navigate by sound, and, you know.
Man, you're really trying to make me out to be a...
That man could have been blind, Josh.
A whole asshole, as Kanye would say. That's absurd.
What happened?
Well, I was like, what? Because I didn't believe he was actually asking me that. And he was like, "Do you have any CDs left?"
So did you sell him one?
And I was I was like, "Yeah, they're on the table in front of you." Anyway.
So you were an asshole to him.
Yeah.
Did he buy one?
I mean, no.
An asshole.
Well, he did buy one.
So he's a great guy.
I told you, fuck you then.
At the end of the day. Yeah.
You like that. I don't want your damn CD anyway.
Oh, all right. Well.
The moral of the story is, if you're going up to a merch table to ask if there are CDs.
Look.
Like, was he just making conversations? That's my question.
He probably just wanted to talk to the artist, you know?
Yeah.
That's a bad leading
question. We're going to have him next here on the audio.
We're definitely not having him
next.
That's
a poor leading question. Ask me anything except for, like, a question about reality.
AMA.
Are we recording? Like, no, we're not having him on.
Zero research was necessary for you to answer your own question. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm glad we could be here to support you through.
I was probably your biggest fan, and now he's probably listening. Like, now he's the crybaby.
Like,
too bad. Also, I have to side note this. How do you feel about the Johnny Depp role Crybaby? You familiar with this movie Crybaby? It was like a 90s flick. I'm not going to get into it. This isn't a movie podcast.
Oh, all right. Well,
Johnny Depp and Crybaby. Check out Johnny Depp's...
That's the name of the movie?
It's the name of the movie, and it's the name of his character. Mm. So,
well, if you're asking why I have the name Crybaby, then I can answer that question.
Yeah, I might as well.
All right, well, as I told you before, there are a couple different things going on with the spelling and, like, identity and things like that. But the biggest reason that Crybaby is what I'm going with is because people have always told me that, you know, I'm too sensitive, I cry too much, I'm overly, you know, just get offended by everything. And I think that's actually kind of my superpower, is sensitivity. And I use that to connect with people, whether that's in my daily life or in my music when I'm expressing myself and drawing listeners in.
People used to tell me that when I was a kid, too. But now I get told I'm an asshole.
So. I got told I was an asshole the whole time. Whole time. Start to finish.
Guess it's the Pisces in me. I don't know.
Mm. So I want to kick this off here, Crybaby. When we have new artists on, we like to throw a little game at them. We call it this or that.
Uh-oh.
We're just going to be throwing two things, and we want you to choose real simple. So Jaren will start.
I will? that's news to me. red or blue?
Ooh, mix them together and you get purple.
So now that you're warmed up.
Yeah, go. It's your turn since I warmed you up.
This is rough. Okay, funk influenced music or jazz influenced music?
Both.
No, you can't say both. That's undermining. Okay. That's subverting.
Jazz. You know I'm a jazzer. That's me.
Jazz influence.
Yeah.
See, that's her way out of getting out of answering questions. It's both. Mix red and blue together, you get purple.
No, but funk and jazz are so freaking important in my sound. Like, definitely. Both of them together. So that's a hard one, but I'm a jazz vocalist, so I'm going to have to go with jazz, especially modern jazz, Chris Potter, Eric Harland, Darren Parks, etc. Those are my dudes, you know.
Contemporary stuff.
Mm.
The Internet, the band,
mm.
or Hiatus, Coyote.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, huge jazz influence.
No, who are you taking?
Oh.
This or that?
There's a correct answer, by
the way. Yeah, it's Hiatus.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah,
is it because
I just sided with Josh?
Is it because the internet is black? Is that why? What y'all doing here? Is that what this is?
I'm going with the Australians, man.
No, it's that jazz influenced R&B, interesting phrasing, interesting chords, interesting people. But I gotta give love to Sid. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but just in terms of composition, like interesting. Pushing boundary type stuff,
yeah.
I have to give it Hiatus Coyote. There's really kind of no question.
Well, to that, I would say go listen to the Internet's first two albums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you're putting me in a hard place here, influenced by both.
You're not putting, this one's not that hard.
No, it's
not that difficult. Napalm swoops in with that post Stevie Wonder songwriting.
But Sid is just, ugh.
Napalm sings like she sings in cursive. Just like SZA. Like they kind of like take the scenic route to get to all their words, if you know
what I mean. Yeah, SZA is not so elaborate, but I see the comparison.
Yeah, kind of the same kind of boat.
Mm. Napalm, you'll always be my top dog. On records, ooh, as interludes, Crybaby, skits or voicemails?
Now, there's definitely a right answer to this.
I love this question, man. This one is my favorite.
That's a tricky one. I love the like 90s weird skits. Like shout out Eminem for like the worst skits. Like just weird stuff.
Eminem's in his own league skit-wise.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. Maybe a better skit producer than a rapper.
Ooh, that's pretty
we'll back it up. Well, I don't know. I think you could, like, isn't a voicemail kind of like a skit? Like,
No.
Like, a voicemail, biggest distinction, always going to be band passed, always going to be, like, secretly vulnerable.
I love a good voicemail.
On an album?
I do. I love it.
How do you feel about the kickoff of Carter 5? Because I think Jaren and I have argued about this.
Oh, you've argued about this? I must have missed that episode.
Got to do your homework.
Mm, yeah. How does it start?
With a voicemail.
No, I figured that. I meant, like, what does it say?
It's like a 2-minute long monologue from Wayne's mom.
Two minutes. 2 minutes is pushing it. If you're going to do spoken word stuff, I think it should be shorter than that.
I just feel like, I don't know, your album opener should never be a skit or a voicemail because you're trying to get me. You're
I don't know.
To catch me.
There's the opening track on Mac Air's forgetting the album title, but the one with the van, I think it's just Should We Take the Van, something like that, is like some gorgeous jazz chords and his grandma leaving him a happy birthday voicemail, and it's a great way to kick off the record.
But the key word, jazz chords, there was still music.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to just hear.
Yeah.
I love a good composed voicemail. No. Yeah.
Also, by the way, Mr. DeMarco, you'll always be the superior Mac.
Nah, Mac Miller?
Oh, sorry, Miller. Or Lamour. Both of you guys are worthy contenders.
Lamour.
What about Dre? Gotta show some love for Dre. Oh,
my God, we're in the Bay.
Hey, look, hot take. So, at all those Macs you name, I think Mac Dre will probably be fourth on my list. I know, and I'm from Oakland. But that's the thing, like, I just got to say this to everybody in Oakland. Like, yeah, we from Oakland. We from the Bay. But play some other shit when we in the club. I'm sick of hearing Mac Dre and E-40 every time I walk in.
I'll take it.
I mean, I love me some E-40. I won't lie.
But not the new stuff he's releasing, but
yeah.
Let those guys. Legendary, you know?
Yeah. Put the Bay the on. But the hypey sound is like,
yeah, you can't
love it
beat
or
it.
Leave it, you know?
But play something else sometimes. You know, we don't want to hear Oakland all day, every day in the club, but.
Clubs, if you're listening, take notes. Clubs. I got another one. To Pimp a Butterfly or Good Kid, M.A.A.d City?
Damn, you took my question.
Pimp a Butterfly.
I knew it. Pimp a Butterfly?
Yeah,
that's kind of the correct.
Okay, To Pimp a Butterfly or Damn?
Pimp a Butterfly. Oh my God.
There's only one.
Oh my God.
Sure thing.
Correct. All right, so I just got to do this too. Good Kid, M.A.A.d City or Damn?
Anything but Damn, honestly.
Damn.
full hierarchy established here.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right.
Yeah, definitely.
Is Old Town Road a trap-influenced country or country-influenced trap?
Country-influenced trap. Absolutely.
Okay. Definitely.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
I don't think there's... I don't even think you could see it the other way.
Also, did you see the outfit at the Grammys? Killing it.
Ah, man, like he's so post-Tyler, you know?
Huh? He's like green or something, right?
Pink.
Tyler already did the all pink thing. I feel like you can't just hop on Tyler's like
just
outside of the box.
Listeners, peep the outfit. Do yourself a favor. Looked great.
Sure thing.
Kind of wasn't feeling it.
Lil Nas, if you're listening. That's all my questions, but I do have another non-too true or false question, which is simply, well, I got a couple more places I want to go, but first of all, who's the most promising modern rapper? This is a hot question on this podcast.
But this is a question for me?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it'd be between Panda Raps and Casey Cope, and I will not say, because they're both amazing.
Pretty decent cop-out answer. This is something that I've been wanting to ask about on air for a second. I just want to know, you've got pretty strong preferences as far as music, persona. Is there anything that you see nowadays that artists that you don't like that are pissing you off, it's trends that you wish would stop, things that are being purposed badly? I just want to just throw some shade on the mic here. Crybaby.
I think I may have said this in the past, but there is a vocalist that I truly can't stand who, bless her heart, has a great following.
I want to try to guess who it is.
Let's just say I rocked the high ponytail first.
Lizzo?
No, love Lizzo. Major love to Lizzo. If you don't love Lizzo, get with the program. It's Lizzo's world.
I know who we're talking about here.
Who are we talking about?
I know who we're talking about. We're talking about the number one stealer of jazz standards.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. See?
We don't even need to go anymore.
That's good stuff. That's a good take. Anything else? That's Ariana Grande for the listeners.
I think we all got a reason to not like Ariana Grande.
What else? What? Just throw out some more. I don't know. Because there's so much happening in music, and I don't know if you follow the Grammys or anything, Crybaby, but.
You know, I didn't. I saw results wise, not a lot of the things that I wanted to win won.
What's frustrating to you in that? What?
There were some cool folks in the jazz category that I was sad to see.
You're not getting angry enough though.
No, I wasn't like, listen, I'm just not attached to the Grammys. It's just never something I've been particularly attached to.
I used to be. But.
Like, big award shows kind of don't really do it for me. I'll watch them, you know, every once in a while. But, like, the Grammys, the Academy Awards, the, like, MTV Awards stuff, it's just, I don't know, the fakeness of the red carpet is a little bit.
Yeah. So would you say you don't really care about ever really winning a Grammy in your career?
No, I would not say that.
So you want it?
Oh, of course. Everybody wants a Grammy. I mean, that's like, I would be honored. But the kind of plastic nature of the whole experience is not really something that, like, I feel I identify with.
Before we get out of here. Recommendations. Jaren, you want to go first?
I don't. You do, though.
My God. My recommendation is for Crybaby to give a recommendation.
Whoa.
On a great record. Like that?
See how he just alludes? He tries to, he sets somebody up. Then when you throw it back.
I got to take a scroll through the ye old Google Play Music. Again, it's just been podcasts lately. You know what? I take it all back. I recently discovered this artist, Rodriguez. Sisto Rodriguez or Jesus Rodriguez, folk singer from the early 70s, Detroit. Absolutely phenomenal songwriter. Look up Coming From Reality. If you're into like old folksy rock and roll, Coming From Reality is incredible songwriting. I mean, Cold Fact is too, but Coming From Reality by Rodriguez. If you're into the kind of shit that Big Soda's into, then dig on that. Because, man, yeah, great. Very moving. All right, it's said my piece.
All right, so I'm going to keep it local. I'm going to go the easy route. So my first recommendation is going to be none other than Crybaby single, Sunshine.
Great call.
Yeah, great call. And then I'm also go K-Suave, new producer, R&B singer, just released a single called Navigate. Go check that out.
Very cool.
Yeah, K-Suave is dope. I should have said that too. Yeah, that's a good
but
song.
But you didn't.
Yeah, but I didn't. K-Suave, if you're listening, you're dope. You're a good producer. Crybaby, any recommendations, album, singles?
Yeah, I've been getting into Emily King a little more lately, and her album Scenery is a particularly good one to start on. If you haven't heard Emily King before, start there.
Perfect.
For sure.
I certainly didn't know what I was talking about.
I had fun doing it. What about you, Crybaby?
I had an okay time.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn. Thanks so much for joining us, Crybaby. Go check out that single. We will see you next week.
Yep. Peace.
Thanks.